I just started Julia Louis Dreyfus's podcast, The Wiser Than Me podcast. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-mm. No, but I love her.
It's her interviewing women in their late 70s and 80s. So oh. Jane Fonda's her first guest.
Oh, man.
She's doing, I'm on Fran Lebowitz right now.
Oh, God.
And I cry every single episode because.
Do you really?
Well, she's asking them, like, what do we need to know? And so much of it is like, I would have gone back and told myself. To like chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to do it all.
Just admit.
Like be kind to yourself.
That's so good. It's so good. It's so true. Yeah. Oh man. That's amazing. I would love to hear that.
So yeah, if you're looking
Jane Fonda
for one,
is
besides ours, of course.
Yeah.
Here's a teaser for Pop Culture Corner, which is you said you like stand-up comedy, and Leanne Morgan was one of the people that you mentioned, and I'm obsessed with her. She talks like that too about where she is in life and how we don't have to do. Well, she just empathizes with it. I don't know that she says we don't have to, because I think she's realistic about that we do, probably.
Right.
But we really don't, but we do.
The last thing I saw on her Instagram was she was telling moms that maybe premenopausal to get out of their gowns. My best advice is when you drop the kids off at school, get out of your gown. Take a walk. Get some air. Do not... stay in your gown.
That is so me. I'm so like, good. Put a bra on, Joy.
Yeah.
Just put on a bra.
This morning, all that rain and the storm, I was like, I'm going to cancel today. I'm not leaving.
They're planning on canceling too, right? It's like, it's so dark.
I'm glad y'all are down the street.
Yeah, you're close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hi.
Hi, ladies.
Thanks for being here.
I'm very glad to
be
here.
We're very excited.
I'm honored to be here.
When I met this person, I think 18, and you came into my work, and I was just like enamored. You're so enchanting. I'm gonna just read your bio and then talk a little bit about my own opinions. Maybe she is a Nashville-based philanthropist and creative. She worked for over a decade as a professional singer-songwriter and a musician, writing and recording her own music, as well as touring and collaborating with artists from Nikki Lane to John Prine, among others. Currently, she spends her time working for the nonprofit she co-founded with her husband, music attorney Jeff Colvin, also very charming. Out of the Woods is the name of her nonprofit with Jeff, and while continuing to consult for a number of lifestyle brands, also serves in his advisory board member at Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt. Welcome to Mom Cult, Shelley Colvin.
Well, thank you so much. Whoa.
Oh my God.
I'm so honored. That was very kind. Thank you all so much.
Yes.
I'm psyched to be here.
We're happy to have you. I did not know that you were in a traveling band with your parents.
I read that too on Wikipedia.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a band so much. Where was that? Where did you see that?
On your Wikipedia.
I saw it on Wikipedia,
Okay.
No, I love that.
Very
funny. I thought that was wonderful sounding.
Oh, man. Well, I did grow up singing with my parents, yeah. My dad's a minister of music, and dad plays everything. Mom plays piano and sings. And
did you like it, or did you feel like you kind of had to?
Oh, no, I liked it. I have good memories of that. But we just traveled all over North Alabama mainly. But
like churches mainly?
Churches, yeah. Oh, yeah, we were on the church tour. It's awesome.
It's the only way to go.
Hymns for days. And yeah, it was such a good education for me. I mean, it was mostly good experiences, and I learned how to sing some harmony, that's for sure.
Yeah. My family is a very, very musical family. Both my parents and my brother sing and play instruments. I'm the only one that I have always had the ear for the harmonies, but like music theory, I always just did horrible at. Still do.
Well, not music theory is overrated. You don't need that.
How was your week?
Week has been good. It's National Sons Day. Do y'all know that?
No.
I just saw that on the socials.
But National Daughter's Day was like, what, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That almost
I didn't know they were so close together.
Saying that. Why?
Because you have a son.
Yeah.
It means nothing to me. I feel nothing.
This day is meaningless.
Did it make you feel, or were you like, I guess you weren't just, I just feel blindsided by this information. I didn't know.
I mean,
it's what today?
Paul, you were just so uninformed. you know, they make, I don't know where those things come from, but all of a sudden it's declared, and then you've got to go home and make a montage of
Yeah, how much you love your sons. Yeah, or not. But you could just do like me like, and choke.
Skip this day. No.
Yeah.
But it was sweet to see. It's, you know, the socials is such an interesting experiment. But
yeah, you're really good at it. Good at communicating in a way that is from the heart. I'm not. It's nice. It's really nice.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
You have Judge, who is...
He's six. He's turned seven in a couple months. Yeah.
Crazy.
He's rad.
Yeah.
He's so fun. Yours is younger, but not how? A couple years younger?
Four.
Oh. Yeah.
He's four.
They're so fun, aren't they?
Yeah.
Four is great.
Yeah. Four was the first age that I was like, okay, I think I could do this again. Felt like a breather from two and three.
I feel the same way, except that it's like, if I want to have another one, I better just do it. Like, we're at that point. So, it's either like do it or don't.
Yeah. Yes. So.
Okay, week, Sarah.
Yeah.
I mean, you might make me a little, not, you don't make me nervous. I feel, you know, I like you. I want your approval. So I feel a little
girl.
Nervous. But I don't do this with everybody. It's not just you. I'm just nervous in general.
Let's all take a shot of tequila.
Yeah, honestly.
What do you have here?
There's a lot of adaptogens in this matcha,
what is
too.
In that green juice?
Yeah. Like Leanne Morgan, I feel like I thought about her when I felt, like, I don't know, hormonal. And I feel like the last, like, seven podcasts, I've been like, and then I was just angry. And I just, like, raised my voice and felt like I was spending 3 days apologizing. Mm-hmm. And that was the case recently. And then Parker and I pulled up at home and... After I'd apologized and we had like reconciled, which in my defense, he was being a dick. And in his defense, he's four.
wins.
Amazing.
I'd repaired and everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Obvi. And then we pulled up at home and I saw that the person that cuts our lawn, we'll call him David.
Okay. Got it.
We have been slowly planting over the last, or just to background, planting stuff. Eric has been planting stuff. I've been buying stuff and bringing it home, and then Eric has been planting it. And there's not really like beds, to be fair to David, but there were like four plants in the front that I was really proud of. And it's like the last maybe lawn cutting of the season, and they were raised back, and I pulled up. And I went, what is wrong with David? I cannot believe this. This has happened again. Because there's been a couple instances of this where he's just trying to like trim things back, get the grass, like let the plant breathe. But it like chops the plant.
Just get demolishes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't. I'm done. I'm done with this. I can't even. And we pulled in and Parker walked in immediately and said, Daddy, what is wrong with David? I'm done. I'm done. And so for like amazing. The last week, he's been saying that about everything.
Amazing.
And also bringing up the plants.
Done.
He just cut down all our flowers. I don't even know. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with them. He just, I'm done.
Oh, my gosh.
He knows the best route is to be on Team Mom. Like, I fully support Mom's anger because it's not directed at me. So I'm going to be on her team about this.
It's amazing. You're like, thanks. Yeah. Go, Parker. Agreed. That is so funny. I know. They hear everything, they pick up everything, they're just
everything, like,
everything. Judge definitely he'll tell me to calm down in the car sometimes. I can get some road rage happening. Uh-huh. Mm. People drive terrible in the city, don't you agree?
Well, yeah. It's a terrible
I think
city
I'm one of them.
And
it is.
So it's not like fully the people's fault,
right? Our roads are ridiculous,
they're still idiots.
Our planning is crazy.
Yeah. Penny will go mom, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. And then she'll be like, I feel better. I feel better.
That is awesome.
That is awesome. How was your week?
Fine. We got visited by three baby squirrels. So it was very exciting at our house for 48 hours. And then two of them died.
Oh, no.
And then I took the third one to my friend Brooke, who works in like wildlife rescue. And so I don't know how that little one is doing. But Ava and her best friend had like a hour and a half long funeral. Like, there's like two little headstones in my front
that
yard.
Is so sweet.
They just sat outside with like gloves on holding the baby squirrels and just crying for like an hour. And I was like, cool, yeah, y'all go process that. I'll be that here is, when you're done.
That's amazing.
Update on last week, I was talking about how we're potty training right now, and the toilet is just really close to the front door. And so instead of going to the bathroom and dumping out her pee, I just open the front door and toss it out into the bushes. But it makes me feel like I'm in like a different century, throwing someone's bedpan.
Yeah.
And Every once in a while, once in a blue moon, a neighbor across the street will practice his bagpipes. And so last week I was doing it, but bagpipes were playing. I was like, man, this just keeps getting more and more. Like, I really need to get a costume.
That's
at this
perfect.
Point.
Yeah. We'll see how you get you call dressed her mom. Up in the Victorian era. Yeah. That's hysterical. Anyway. I want to hear his bagpipes. That's pretty rad.
He only does like two. There's only two songs. There's like the main one. It's like there's always a couple notes that are like.
It's hard. I've heard it's hard.
It's hard. I love it.
Oh my god.
Does he wear regular clothes?
I can't ever see him. He's like behind his house.
He doesn't. Oh man, wear regular that would be. Clothes.
You got to get a glimpse.
Shelly.
Oh, sorry. You didn't say how your week.
She just said it's National Sons Day.
Oh, yeah. That was your thing. Okay.
Then she
is
was
that
like,
a good
I'm
update?
Out.
Yeah. That's good enough, I guess.
I definitely had having a good week. Yeah.
It's powerful.
That is powerful, right? I totally took
Nothing
you for a ride
out.
On that one.
I hope y'all feel what I feel way after it.
How long were you and Jeff together before you started talking about wanting a family? Did you always want a family? Did you always want to be a mom? Did you picture being a mom?
I didn't know that I would. I mean, I never felt like I had to be a mom. We were together a long time. We got married in 2002. And so we waited 15 years and just felt like life was great. Life was fun. We traveled all the time. And it just never felt like something we had to do or that we were missing. Mm-hmm. But eventually it just, yeah, I don't know what, just felt like a good time.
We're all kind of on the same page that whole time, or did it change of like, I'm thinking about it, but you're not thinking about it. And now you're thinking about it, but I'm not thinking about it.
We were on the same page. Jeff has been, I mean, he's got like, is the patience of a saint. So he never pushed me or made it uncomfortable in any way. And we had conversations over the years, but just, I don't know, it always felt like one day down the road, way down the road. And then,
how old were you when you got pregnant?
I was 38. Yeah, I was 38. He's 6 years older. So I was like, you know, we're on the older side of things. I was a geriatric.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know,
they say that very early.
Pregnant lady, yeah.
It's like, yeah. Isn't it like 35 and up now?
Yeah. Yeah, it's no big deal. I mean, it was a good pregnancy. We were psyched. It felt like the right time. And mm-hmm. we were lucky in that it was, you know, we didn't have to, it was pregnancy. Getting pregnant was not a challenge for us, but it was a sweet pregnancy. I loved being pregnant. I felt good.
You look great.
Aw.
You did.
Thank you. I just was, it was such a cool time. And then, yeah, and there was the judge.
What was your birth experience like?
The birth was just rad. God, I don't have any like horror stories really. I just, I was very willing to take drugs and knew that was, you know, what I felt like I would be good for me. And it was, it took longer, definitely slowed mm-hmm. things down, but Joy Shaw, mm-hmm. was my doula.
Nice.
And it's just a godsend. And I'm so glad that I had her with me. And it was just Joy and Jeff and me and then the doctor. We were at St. Thomas.
Yeah.
And it was pretty magical. Judge was born. Took a while. But he was born to Unknown Legend, the Neil Young song that as it was playing as he was coming into the world, which was pretty sweet.
And I had a whole sweet. Playlist and... Like, so that it could have a moment of, like, what song were you born in?
Did it work out?
And I just totally forgot that we even had one.
No, I had one, but I listened to White Noise the whole time, and it was, none of that. Didn't do that. Mm-hmm. But I was going to ask if you did anything, like, alternative medicine-wise, like a doula or whatever, along with drugs, because I didn't really, but that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, Joy was, I mean, especially, like, just having Joy along with learning about what was going to happen,
totally.
How it was going to go.
Yeah.
Super valuable. And I didn't read a lot of books. I did not want to fill myself with just information and expectations on how things would be.
That's smart. I think I did that. That's not.
You did. Well, that's, I mean, I'm sure it's helpful in a lot of ways,
I feel like those things are almost more helpful for like the time that you're reading them, like to feel like you're doing
something. You're doing
something.
You're being productive in that way. Yeah, yes. Productive.
I'm researching. Yeah, yeah. I'm learning information.
Yeah. Although he had the craziest cone head, it was like a soft serve ice cream cone, and I was like, "What?
Like, we can't show.
What has
we
happened?
Can't show baby pictures
and
to
I did,
people?
I didn't know. You know, I don't know if that's in those books that I did not read, but I was like, "God, what happened? What did I do? This guy."
Just so petite, I think, is what that means.
Did you have a lot of friends with kids already, or were you kind of solo?
I didn't have a lot of friends that had babies already. I think that's probably why I just never felt like, I don't know, it wasn't on the brain so much, because our friend group has always been a good bit younger than us, because music and just being around people that tour a lot, they tend to be younger. But it did happen that a couple friends were pregnant at the same time.
Yay.
So that was magical. And we knew each other, but not super well. And then pregnancy just bonded us so mm-hmm. intensely, and especially after birth, and our kids are all friends. Mm-hmm. And it changes your life when you can go through those things together. And I'm very grateful for my mama friends.
Yeah, that's how this started, or Joy started this thing. I'm not sure if you know that, but like her feeling like she didn't have a lot of mom friends at the time, and then kind of gathering people together and stuff. So mom cult in general.
All right.
The podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, Mom Cult listeners. I don't know if we've really talked about this on the podcast before, but I am now the social media manager for Camel Express Car Wash. And I thought I would take a second to help promote our grand opening in Mount Juliet that's happening this week. It started on Monday, and we are giving away free car washes all week until Sunday, October 8th. But it's more than just a free car wash. It is really a fundraiser to help raise money for a fellow employee named Devario Parson and his family. They were at the hospital having their first baby. And before they could leave the hospital, they got a call that their apartment building had burned down. I don't know if you guys heard about the Glass Creek apartment fire in Mount Juliet that happened not too long ago. So we are using our grand opening this week to help raise money for the Parson family. So if you're in the area, feel free to come on by for a free wash. There'll be an option to donate. Or if you go to our Instagram, Camel Express Car Wash, you can go to our bio and there's a link that will send you directly to their GoFundMe page. Also, Mom Cult members, you can get a free wash as well. Just text the word Mom Cult, MOMCULT, to 30400, and you will get a free $25 car wash texted to your phone. Visit camelexpress.com to find your camel today.
This is the first time that you and I are meeting in person, but I think the first time that I kind of met you was just on Instagram, because I just started seeing your story and your face everywhere.
Oh, wow.
We had so many mutual friends, and then I think I DM'd you, and I was like, you don't know me, but I just wanted to give my love and
that's so sweet.
Prayers.
Thank you.
I didn't know do you have anything you want to ask before we kind of segue into?
Well, no, just that. Do you mind talking about what happened?
Okay. No, we can talk about that. Yeah.
Your nonprofit stems from, like, out of the woods stems from what happened with your son, Judge. And what year was that?
2020.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, how far into
So it was COVID? The height of the first wave of COVID, May, and that was, so we just had the tornado. Mm-hmm. March was a national tornado, and then May was, I mean, Jeff and Judge and Andrew were going on hikes every Sunday, and it was such a cool tradition they had, and Andrew is my brother-in-law, Jeff's younger brother, and so he lives in our neighborhood, and they just would meet up, and that was kind of a good thing to do during that lockdown time. And that day was like a normal day, and the weather was not threatening at all when they left to go on that hike. So they were going at Longhunter State Park, which I'd never knew existed, and I didn't even, you know, this will make sense later, but they went on a hike. It was like 2:30 or something when they left. And I got a call I called Jeff because at like 4:30-ish in East Nashville was like, It just turned dark. It was so scary. Winds were insane. Heavy rain. It just changed so fast. Mm-hmm. And I got worried about them. So I called and said, I was thinking they were probably on their way home, mm-hmm. expecting that they would be.
And that maybe, did it hit like east side before
yes.
there?
Yeah, it did. And so, and he was like, oh no, we're fine. We're, it's pretty here. He said, Judge is naked. He's about to go swimming in the lake. I was like, I think you guys, you know, I think you should get back. And so he's like, all right. And we hung up and he and Andrew like looked at their phones and saw the radar and decided to like start packing up. And their Long Hunter has that. I mean, it's pretty flat. I mean, it's not a, mm-hmm. it's not a mountain hike. It's your long Percy Priest Lake. And I mean, there's all these cool little beachheads. And so they were just one of those and taking a dip. Mm-hmm. And he said, I mean, it was so quick. Like they started to pack up and then rain just started and winds, it hit them. It just was the storm was there. And they were about 2 miles into the hike. So it's called a derecho, which I never knew existed. Mm-mm. They can form. It's got to be these perfect conditions. And it's like straight line winds that form. And there's not warning that this is going to, that it's going to happen. It's terrifying. I mean, I hate to like, you know, spread awareness that this kind of thing exists because it's like, it's so terrifying. And, but so they just, I mean, they all, Andrew and Jeff both say it was like, they felt like they were in a tornado and were trying. There was a tree cover they had passed not far down the trail and they were going to try and get, you know, take cover where this like, I don't know, sort of a shelter under this big tree. And they just didn't make it. I mean, Jeff said it was like all of a sudden he was on his face on, he felt something obviously hit him and he was on the ground face in the mud. Judge, he had been carrying Judge and he was not in his arms. He looked, I mean, he couldn't see him. He didn't know where he was. I mean, I got a call from Andrew. So I called Jeff to say, you guys need to see, you know, I wanted to see where they were. I was like, y'all need to get home. And Andrew called me, I think it's like 5 or 8 minutes later, we've looked at the records and it was about 5 minutes after that call. My brother-in-law calls me and says, and it's, I can barely hear him. I can't understand what he's saying. He's saying, he said there was an emergency. There's been an accident. Call 911. And I couldn't, and I said, tell me exactly where you are. And we're yelling at each other because it's so loud because of the storm. I couldn't understand what he was saying. He was saying we're at Long Hunter. It was just kind of getting buried. It's like Long Hunter. Couldn't understand. I'd never heard of that part before. So I was like having him repeat it over and over and just screaming in the phone. And I finally get it. I finally understand. And I hang up and I start calling 911. I'm getting dressed to leave the house and go meet him. God, that was like a terrifying drive. So I'm calling 911. Emmy Lou, my little Yorkie poo, I just remember her being like freaking out. And I take off to go find them. And it's like the map is like you're 25. I was like 25 minutes away from that park. And I couldn't get through to 911. I was calling. It was busy. All the lines were down.
Oh,
right. I was going to say, was it still storming pretty bad like while you were driving or had it kind of calmed
down? It was still raining. It wasn't as scary. Like the winds weren't as, I think the bulk of that storm had passed, mm-hmm. but it was still stormy, still raining. And I couldn't, I mean, I was freaking out because I couldn't get through to 911. So I stopped. I drove to the police station on Trinity Lane. And it was like pouring down rain at that time. And I tried to, I was just standing there. You can't get inside there. So standing there, like they have a little intercom. I was like, I need help. You know, nobody, like I heard from somebody. They're like, we're going to send somebody out. And I just waited and waited, pouring down rain. It was awful. And I finally just got in the car. I was like, I can't, I got to get to them. So I just left. And I called my friend, Butch, I was just thinking of, I called a couple of friends. I was like, I need you guys to try and call 911. Here's the information. I called my friend, Butch, that I knew had close ties to city officials that could probably get through to somebody.
Butch Spearden?
Yeah, yeah.
We love Butch.
Butch, I mean, what a legend. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that was my thought. It was like, who do I know that can
pull a string, mm-hmm. yeah.
find a police or get through
this information to the right
yes.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, that part of things of just like the breakdown of that system and getting help to my boys was mm-hmm. just like awful. And I think I have heard that they've made changes to that, the 911 system with, you know, storm related and how those things operate. But so I go, I mean, I'm just like freaking driving so fast down 24 to get to this park. And I'm driving Jeff's car. They were in mine, and he's on empty.
Oh, my gosh. You're like, are you?
I'm just stopping at gas, and I just will never forget being in that gas station. And I thought while I'm pumping gas, it's like, I don't know if people can get to him. I thought Judge didn't eat that. I was like, he hasn't had much to eat. So I go in the store, and I get, like, bananas. I get cookies. I'm, like, thinking of, I don't know how I'm going to, what I'm going to find them like. Mm-hmm. And so I had to wait in line in that store. Ugh. I was like behind five people. I just was dying, you know. It was awful. I wanted to scream and get. Anyway, I was in touch with Andrew. Andrew carried Judge. I mean, it was his, what happened with, I mean, how he got Judge out of there was just so heroic. It was still storming so bad. And Judge had been thrown about like 8 feet from Jeff and was just unconscious, and he couldn't tell if he was breathing. Jeff could not move. Jeff's back was broken. He had 29 broken bones. So this tree, it's like a 75-foot oak tree, was uprooted, and you know, it wasn't like the base that hit them, but it was the, you know, upper part and the branches. So that was fortunate that it wasn't such a massive chunk of it, but it was closer to the water line. So it did fall in a little bit of a slope, because Jeff had like, he had a way to sort of scoop out of where he was laying. Like there was a little space for him to crawl. But he just couldn't. He couldn't really move his body.
Was he conscious the whole time?
He was.
Wow.
It's insane. I can't believe that he laid there just mentally not knowing if Judge was alive. And, you know, the pain he was feeling, it wasn't until they were trying to get him out till paramedics finally got there, which was like almost 2 hours. I know. And Andrew's story of how he got Judge out. I mean, he picked him up and he ran, like sprinted through that park. And it was about 45 minutes that he had to run to get him to a parking lot, to the car, just like still hoping there would be an ambulance mm-hmm. and help. And then they still couldn't get through to 911. And this girl, so there were some people in the parking lot. There's a part of the story, I mean, I could sit here all day and tell you these crazy things that happened in those moments.
Yes, crazy.
So many little plots of what was happening. And this girl she's an artist. She's amazing. And she had heard Andrew yelling for help. Actually, her son heard Andrew yelling. And he was like, Mom, somebody needs help. And she went to Andrew, like, she eventually found him on the trail. They met up. I mean, it just, their paths crossed. And he said, my brother's back there, and I don't know if he's going to make it. Can you go help him? And so she takes off and runs. And there's a, on that, in that trail, there's a fork, and you got to know how to, where to go. And she said, she describes it. Her account of everything is incredible, but she describes it as like, she's like, she says, I wasn't running. She says, I was like, I was literally flying.
Yeah.
She says, I was like, and I didn't hesitate. She said, I knew where to go. So amazing. So she got to Jeff.
Pause.
You're doing great.
Do it too.
This was Sarah's fault.
Yeah. I got this cool. I know, Sarah.
I saw Sarah's eyes start watering. I was like, oh no.
It's not about me. Don't do it.
Y'all, it's just all, I mean, it's all, that whole time was so, so intense, but they made it, you know, they eventually got to hospitals, and
yeah,
thank God we've got an incredible, I mean, Vanderbilt, they got to Vanderbilt and they saved the lives of my boys, of Jeff and Judge. Judge was unconscious and was in a coma for, I mean, that night they drilled holes in his head and you just can never prepare for that.
Mm-mm.
Seeing your kid like that, but just had to like compartmentalize, and I couldn't be there for Jeff because he was, I mean, he was fighting for his life, and it was in the adult hospital, and I just couldn't process what mm-hmm. he was going through. I just had to stay focused on Judge, and which is crazy. I think I'm processing now, like what Jeff really went through after all this time. It's like, God, now I'm so thoughtful, and I think about it more than I ever have of his like mental toughness to have survived those injuries, being in so much pain, and just knowing what Judge was going through. And he had to compartmentalize. He'll talk about how he, and we had pictures of Judge and our family that we were going to put in his hospital room, and we couldn't do it. He wouldn't let us because it was just too
hard.
He couldn't look at him. Yeah. But God, I mean, that was, you know, we made it through that. And then they both had needed so much rehab, and Judge had a traumatic brain injury. He was bleeding in four parts of his brain. And they like did a procedure, surgery to relieve pressure off his brain. It's called an EVD drain, and it's just how they manage swelling, because if like the first 72 hours your brain like swells pretty significantly just with an injury like that. So it was just very touch and go as to managing that swelling and keeping, you know, just keeping more injuries from happening in that time, managing the brain damage that could still happen. So, I mean, I learned a lot about, brain injuries and monitoring ICP levels and just
things you just never wanted to know.
Things you never want to know about. Yeah. And that just the staff at Monroe Carroll, the Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, they just became family. I didn't have, you know, I couldn't have visitors. I couldn't even see Jeff. It was just brutal. So they were my lifeline. Those are the only people I could really, I mean, I was talking to people some, but I just didn't really have time or energy to do much. But the damn, you know, Instagram,
I was about
the
to say,
social media yeah. part of things is what was so helpful for me and not feeling alone in that moment mm-hmm. and time. It was the outpouring of love and support from just thousands of people. It was incredible. It just meant the world. It's, you know, always will. I'll never forget just feeling so supported, and just the goodness of people to friends and strangers that want to like rally behind people that are, you know, in a very, going through a really hard time. There's just so much good out there.
It felt like watching you share that among like many things and like absorbing the story, but seeing it come up on social media and how you were speaking about it, there was so much strength in that. Mm-hmm. Like being able to talk in that moment the way that you did, and in the way of reaching out and accepting that kind of support, like that, knowing that, I don't know if you know that you needed that at the time, like emotionally, just all the way that would feel.
I don't know. I didn't know how much it was going to help. I know I needed to like reach out in some way for, I have faith and I'm a believer in God and the power of prayer. And mm-hmm. I felt like, I mean, I went to that very quickly of just asking for the prayerful people to pray and,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever faith you believe in. I just wanted all the spiritual, like, mm-hmm. the ceremony of all this apparently.
I know other people might be going through stuff right now, but guys, I'm going to go and pull a card, and I'm going to need everything.
It was,
right.
Honestly, it did feel
right.
It was the full-on Trump card.
Everybody was on board.
And the year of all was like, shit. I mean, yeah.
God,
yeah.
Everybody went through so much. I mean,
But I feel like helpful feels like the wrong word, but like, yeah. Because we were all at such.
Yes, it was.
At such a space of going, wow, like we've all kind mm-hmm. of been knocked on our ass. Mm-hmm. And so then to see someone have this added on to what all of us are already going through was just like
unacceptable.
Oh my gosh. Looking back, I do think that timing was interesting in a lot of ways, and especially of everybody just kind of being at home, and it gave a lot of people just something to mm-hmm. sort of check in on every day or mm-hmm. just, and I wanted to be there for all those people. I wanted to share whatever I could, and also, you know, stay as positive as I could. As I knew that the doctors were not telling me what it was going to look like when Judge was coming out of his coma. If he, you know, and what Jeff was his surgery the day after the accident. I mean, it was like such a high percentage that he could have been paralyzed from surgery, because it was just such a delicate surgery that fix his back. I mean, a titanium rod inserted in his back, and there's just still so many pieces of bone everywhere, and just it shattered his spine, and it just was such a delicate thing. So it was important to me to share all those positive updates, and yeah, helped just maintain momentum for all of us.
Yeah, you did.
Thank you. Thank y'all for being there for us. And I mean, this community was incredible. It was really something to behold and feel like, you know, this certainly inspired us to want to give back and. You know, do what we can but the point of, you know, what we're working on now is when mm-hmm. Judge was coming out of a coma and needed intense rehab and didn't, you know, wasn't speaking, couldn't walk, he couldn't eat, he couldn't do anything. So it was like he had to learn how to do everything again. We didn't know if he was, to what degree he would mm-hmm. be able to do those things again. The reality of somebody that needs those kind of services, that needs to be in a hospital and learn functions again from a brain injury or spinal injury, is there's no place in Tennessee that can do that. You have to move out of state, which is insane. I mean, that was that news that the social worker shared was just crazy to me. And it was hard to process that. Mm-hmm. And it just made me, you know, it's just hard to believe that a city, a sophisticated city like Nashville would not, you know,
that's known for healthcare.
Yeah, right. Would not have that available to kids. So we had support. Thankfully, we were fortunate to have, you know, friends and family and strangers supporting us in a GoFundMe, and we moved to Atlanta. And it was amazing for Jeff too, because the Shepherd Center there, which is like one of the world's best for spinal injuries, and so his rehab was at Shepherd, and Judge and I were in the hospital at Choa. But that, you know, took a long time for him. I mean, it was the best day of my life when he said "Mom" for the first time again, and I knew he knew who I was. Pause.
How long into this was that?
When you can. Next.
Pause button.
I'm not doing it again.
Joy, edit the space.
Do you feel like you were already kind of a nurturer at heart, or did this bring out a side of you that... just because you were kind of the one kind of taking care of both of them, did that feel like it came naturally to you, or do you feel like it kind of pulled more something out of you that you didn't have before?
Well, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. I think Jeff is more of a nurturer than I am. I do have it naturally. I do have that sensibility naturally too, but it definitely pulled that part of knowing I needed to be more for both of them. And so much of the time, I didn't feel like it was really coming from me. It was just, I know I had strength from God that was helping me be there and you know, live up to the things that was being demanded of me at the time. But it wasn't, you know, I think just wasn't anything extraordinary on my behalf, or it was just an extraordinary situation. And it, y'all would have done the same thing. It changed us all forever.
Yeah.
So I do. I'm probably more of a nurturer now. Maybe so, Joy. I learned from my mom is an incredible mom, but she also had a very no-nonsense part of her. Like, you know, wash your face, you'll feel better. She didn't put up with a lot of crap, which I'm grateful for that I was raised in that way of, like, you know, taught me to be independent and figure stuff out but still super, she was super nurturing at the same time. So I did have good lessons from her.
Is she still around?
Mm-hmm. She is. She's
interested
great.
To see what her experience watching your own kid have to be what you had to be, like what that experience was like for her. Like
she was very present.
She was. Yeah. I couldn't have done it without her. She was extraordinary. And basically waited at the intersection of Children's Way and 19th by the hospital and just would sit there and wait for me to call and say, I want a cheeseburger, I want, you know, whatever I needed. Mm-hmm. I had her go get rugs one day. I was like,
Mom,
I want to decorate this room. This room sucks. Let's bring some, I need some art. The funny story is, I was like, I think I want some pictures. And, you know, here's some, just pull them off Instagram or whatever. And that wasn't super easy. I had to explain how to do that, but... But she, like, she goes to the FedEx office. Well, I mean, I go to meet her after that, and she's printed off like 250 photos. They're poster size. They're all different sizes, but a lot of like poster size pictures. I'm like, good Lord. Like, I just wanted a few photos. And she's like, oh my God, you wouldn't believe it. I told the FedEx guy what was happening. And they just said, whatever you need. They didn't even charge me.
That's so sweet.
But she has a lot of stories during that time that would be cool to hear. And yeah. Well, y'all should talk to her sometime.
she appears very charming to me. And one of my notes was like, just how, not that it's coming up, but I'm just going to bring it up in a completely out of place way, is her house, or the, what you've posted of it, looks so beautiful. She just seems like so graceful and wonderful. And then how she took care of y'all. And it's just, I like it.
That's so sweet, Sarah.
What does she call? What does Judge call her?
Mimi.
Mimi.
Yeah.
Mimi. It's a good one.
Yeah. She is everything about her. Just, she creates, she makes things more beautiful in every way. She's amazing. That's so sweet. Thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe we like Mimi better than you.
Yeah. Yeah,
get out.
You definitely do. You definitely do. Everyone does. She's way cooler.
That's what this is about.
We really want to know this lady.
I'm not kidding. As soon as I sat down to record this, I feel like four people started mowing their lawns. I feel like we should be done mowing lawns now. I'm ready for lawn mowing season to be done. And I'm ready for fall. And what doesn't say fall more than pasta, more than schmears, more than bagels? I mean, all nice, warm, comforting foods. This is the perfect time of year to start shoving your face with pasta. And there's no better place to do it than Mr. Aaron's Goods, all right? They are local, They are family owned and operated. For a limited time, Mom Cult listeners, you can get 20% off your entire purchase. Just use code MOMCULT at checkout at MrAaronsGoods.com. MRAARONS goods.com. Also, fun fact, I don't know if any of you guys know, but Aaron used to be roommates with Sarah, which is how I met Aaron. They are open Tuesday through Friday from 9 to 2 and Saturdays from 9 to noon or whenever they sell out, which they will. They will. We're going to speak that into existence for them. They will sell out every day. And if you want any specific bagels or cuts of pasta, you can always order online and pick up once again at MrAaronsGoods.com.
Was there anything about the, like, the healing process, like, kind of after the initial trauma and everyone is on the road to recovery? Was there anything in that process that, like, blindsided you? Like,
I think processing the trauma through, you know, getting to a place, I was pretty intentional, and Jeff was too, of wanting to make sure we were taking care of our mental health while we were in that, you know, coming out of the really intense days. And that was hard. I mean, that was we both had trauma therapists that were incredible and really, you know, so important to our recovery as a family. So I think that was just doing that work was so intense and was very hard, but it got us to a place where we can talk about it and reflect on it and not just, you know,
feel tricky.
You can access it and not, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll still cry.
Sure.
But it was absolutely incredible to have access to those therapists. I mean, I did EMDR. We both did EMDR therapy. Mm-hmm. And that was, I cannot believe.
Transformative.
Oh my gosh. The pre-session, post-session mm-hmm. state that I got access to was absolutely mind-blowing.
How did they do the bilateral? Like, it's a EMDR is what, eye movement, desensitization, something else. And yeah. Do you know the last thing?
I can't remember what it says.
Nobody does. Even the people who do it, they don't know.
It's not important.
I did it with sound. What did you do? Cool. What was your bilateral?
It was a pulse, electric pulse in my hands. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Incredible.
I mean, it's such a proven tool of therapy. And I mean, I wish everybody could do it. I mean, mm-hmm. everybody has things they need to recover from. And it's mm-hmm. just it's an amazing tool that we have access to.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope that they make some kind of at home thing, because it feels like if you can, uh-huh. I don't know. Doesn't seem that hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like you could be guided,
you know,
like, virtually.
Yeah.
Jeff did do it virtually. I mean, he was, yeah, just get some paddles.
Just try it. See if it works.
They have bilateral stuff on Spotify.
They do?
Yeah. But I don't, you know, I don't know.
If you can listen. I mean, yeah. I bet you could. I mean, Jeff.
Give it a shot. Yeah. Hey.
Come on. Just
Mom yeah. can't
hurt.
Approve.
Can't hurt. Can't hurt. We take no responsibility.
Allegedly.
Did you have a part of the trauma, like a moment of like the phone call or the drive or the hospital? Like, which moment mm-hmm. did you feel like you had to work through the most as far as your trigger response?
Yeah, the ER, the judge.
Yeah.
And it changed my memory of that, really. I mean, I needed it.
Shifted it.
I was, yeah, I'm so glad that I got to the hospital as they were bringing Judge in. So, I mean, I'm so grateful that I was yeah. with them. And that ER was at TriStar. That was the nearest one to that mm-hmm. park. So that was a different hospital first that intubated him. And they weren't sure if he was going to live. And they just said, yell at him, like, tell him you're here. Like, they wanted me to shout at Judge so that he could hear a voice. And I just yelled over and over. Like, I mean, that was just intense. Tell him to hang on.
Okay. Fast forward.
Sarah needs to pause.
Pause. No, I don't. But I feel like I don't want to, like, you'd have to sleep for days after this. But do you talk about this a lot? Do you do these things? First of all, just as an aside to then bringing you out of the situation. What do you do these things a lot?
No,
we can cut that.
No,
out.
That's I've only talked. I haven't done this live with anybody. I don't think. I mean, I've talked.
So honored.
I've done some.
Yes,
like,
thank you.
Not going through this as like a taped thing. I've done some, you know, some programs for the hospital, and we talk a little bit. It's always focused on the rehab, the facility that we're hoping to build, and the hospital is going to build it, which is segue into that. That's great news.
But fast forward to how many years out of this are we?
So we're three years from that accident.
Judge Ken. Walk and talk.
Oh my gosh.
He had eye
surgery.
Yeah.
He was seeing double. I mean, it's so common when you have a brain injury, the eyes just sort of go wonky. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had surgery to bring them back together. And so they would coordinate again. And it was so successful. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had to do it twice. And that was, we knew going in that it often takes two, sometimes more, times to really get it where they need to not see double and all that. So we've been through a lot of vision therapy and, just the recovery of those two surgeries, but he's doing amazing. It is such a miracle. It's like, you know, he's tracking with his peers. Now he's at a great school. He's in first grade reading. I mean, he's playing soccer. He's not going to be messy or anything, but we're playing, you know, just feels we're living normal lives. And he is so, like, he's so emotionally mature. Uh-huh. And I mean, he's always
like, because of this process,
he was always an old soul for sure. But now, I mean, just everything he has endured and He works so hard. He didn't even know, you know, he didn't even know what he was doing. He's just like a little badass and just, you know, therapy for so long, years. And he just never complained. Like it's remarkable to think about what he has accomplished and how positive he was through it all and just hung in there. It's like, yeah, okay, we're going to physical therapy. Let's go. You know, let me sit here. And I mean, those therapists are remarkable and so incredible. They make it fun, as fun as they can for kids. But we've learned a lot about those programs. But he's doing incredibly well.
It appears that way. It's like amazing. Mm-hmm. It's a miracle.
We're so grateful.
And the facility where you guys were, you are hoping to, or you are bringing something like that to Nashville with Out of the Woods.
Correct? Well, so at the same time that I really was intentional to like look for people to help facilitate something being built here, Vanderbilt, I mean, it was on their priority list for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they just, in conversations, they were able to like, you know, move it up to a higher priority for the hospital, which is incredible. But that was, I mean, they were on, and they were working toward that all along too, but it was just amazing that we kind of intersected together and are able to be partners in that in a way. I mean, Jeff and I are on the advisory board for that facility with the hospital, and then our foundation will help raise awareness. I mean, one of the missions is to help raise awareness and raise funds that will go toward that program, and then also be able to directly help families that are good and patients that are going through those life-changing injuries and need money to offset cost of those, you know, the way their lives have changed. They need equipment. They need their houses transitioned to have ramps and just be safer for the kids. And so that's what, that's why we started our own 501c to be able to like directly help families. We're excited that's the next phase of where our journey is going.
Yeah. Does Judge have an awareness of what you're doing, like what you're working on? Can he?
He does. I mean, I think so. Yeah. We talk about helping build a facility, a rehab. And he's before he said, I want to build the bricks, or he said, I want to lay bricks or lay the concrete or something. He's like visualizing what he wants, how he wants to be a part. But yeah, we talk about it a lot, and we have had a number of events where we're talking about it and he's there. I mean, he's just, we don't really shield him from any of those conversations. He's seen his picture of him in a hot, you know, a ICU bed with lines coming out all over the place. And he just seems really mature in that way to like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how it's all affected him and won't for a long time probably, but he seems now to be really healthy with it. And he, I love that he's seen so much. I love that he's seen so many different kinds of kids and the way they function and through disabilities and all that. He's comfortable around any kind of human being, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I didn't think about that. That experience, being in the hospital for that long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or in all those scenarios.
Wow. Yeah.
What did self-care look like for you during that time?
Well, I had a really good friend who owns a vineyard that would send me some had some wine deliveries that were very helpful. Shout out to European sellers. No. True, but I tried to make time. Sometimes it was just walking around the block, or a lot of it was sitting in the car. I would sit in the car and do my therapy sessions out in the driveway. I didn't want to leave. I didn't really want to leave Judge or Jeff. And so we're a pretty tight unit. We still don't really leave each other.
You already were, like, it appeared to me very, very, it's way even more so now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to be apart for sure. But we're getting better. He just started sleeping in his own bed. That was a big deal. Mm-hmm. We're getting, you know, some of it I know we need to have a little bit of separation sometimes, but it's good, you know.
But I get it.
I feel like in our own time, I'm not worried about it
now.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're more of a worrier now than you used to be?
I'm just more aware. I try not to worry too much, but I'm certainly like the safety police. Mm-hmm. And anywhere I am, I mean, I'm looking out for every possible thing that can, you know, which that's just going to be, it's the reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm just so grateful I just love being with Judge. I love hanging out with him. He's such a cool person. I think I'm just trying to always find more time to hang out with him.
Yeah.
Like, cut out all the bullshit and just be able to hang with Jeff and Judge as much as possible.
Yeah.
Do you have mom guilt about anything?
I very quickly shut that down when it crept in at times. It's I think I'm glad, I'm grateful I was able to just sort of like cut it out. I know it's not good. It's not, you know, I think back to my faith, it's like it's not healthy to be in that sort of a mindset.
Well, we're screwed, Sarah.
That's hilarious.
I would imagine your perspective is just like, oh, yeah. I can just weed out the bullshit real easy because I know what like real grief is, and like this is not worth my time.
Yeah. And it is a gut check just to hear you talk. I mean, like, you know, every moment, all the moments. It was to see it then. I do think that way, but I feel like if you've not been through that, it's easier, depending on, I guess, who you are as a person, to let yourself get caught up in the, like, him, you know, being upset because I didn't also get him a bubble tea or whatever, you know, like being like irrationally upset. It's easier to get upset about, and it's like, what even every moment? So.
Right. Like, do you get frustrated? Like, do you get the day to day, like, frustrations?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been listening to, do you know Dr. Becky? Do y'all know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Inside or.
Good Inside.
Good Inside.
I like that book. I'm not finished with it, but I like how she just says nobody's gonna be perfect in the moment, but like the repair part is what's most important. And I try not to I try to be kind to myself and not put, you know, feel too bad about situations. But Judge is I love funny people, I love humor. I try to like keep it silly and fun and just like take myself out of whatever frustration I'm in, just like just try and flip it as much as I can and be like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's not always going to happen. But I mean, last night he was in the bathtub and I'm always in a hurry. He is never in a hurry. Kid would never know hurry. It smacked him in the ass, but he's just goofy and fun. And I was trying to get him out of the bathtub and he just is sitting there in his naked body, just shaking his butt at me, like just wagging it and laughing his butt off. He thought it was hysterical. And we just, yeah, we both just sort of broke down and laughed. And I'm grateful that he is that way. And he's good at taking me out of the frustrating moments.
Yeah, how does it feel? How does 3 years out feel?
Really good. I mean, some days I'm very close to it. I knew just even starting the foundation, Jeff and I both knew that it was going to still keep you in it. And that, you know, talking about it and that keeps it all close in a way that I, you know, just was a little unsure of if that would be the best thing. But it's all the flip side of it is so much better that it's like, we can deal with that. We can move through it in a way that I think it's going to be so outweighed by the positive things that come from everything. But
yeah, I always think about how, like, when you go through something, like the goal is, oh, I've been through this thing. And now when other people go through something, like you get to do something to help somebody else when they're going through the same kind of thing, which I feel like is really healing.
Yeah. Oh, it already has been in so many ways. And I'm very excited about how many kids will hopefully get to help. And I mean, I know we will. The facility will help hundreds of kids a year. I mean, when that is built, and it's like the reality of how they'll be able to recover from injuries is going to change their life. I mean, it'll be night and day in how they recover. And like the first 90 days, how like your intense rehab, that dictates the rest of your life. Right. So if you're not able to get that intense care, if you have to go home, if to stabilize you and you go home because you can't find resources to go out of state, mm-hmm. the trajectory of those kids' recoveries is so different. So it's like, it's so tragic that is, you know, the difference and, you know, the disparity of what that is. So I know it's going to be a game changer for kids' lives.
Yeah. Creating that here.
Yeah.
Is a massive deal.
Yeah.
Especially it being like a hub in the middle of, you know, and having a second place where there's, you know, resources going into it and having that. That's amazing.
Oh my gosh. So needed. Thank you.
Yeah. Speaking of funny people.
Yeah.
You said you liked comedians. I do too. It's like my favorite thing. I mean, I say that my secret dream is to be a stand-up comic, and I don't know if that's really, I mean, it's true. I do think that, but it's like the most terrifying thing in the world to me. But I really like, and I think Leanne Morgan is like, just one of the people that you mentioned.
Yeah.
She's somebody who fits well into like the mom situation, and the way she talks about, I guess I don't really even have you can't really like top. I can't believe I'm going to do pop culture corner at the end of this. It seems really fucking stupid. It's just trivial garbage.
Let's go there.
Listen, comedy's really important.
It is. That was my message.
But honestly, I am. You know, like, well, I'm, it's too late. Can't stop. I can. you know, thinking about how funny, thank you, Parker is, and how, you know, he moves slowly too. I'm always in a hurry because I'm always like behind. Mm-hmm. And stopping to let them be funny and like, not, it's like, let them, I don't know. I like worry that he's going to be like me, and in the way that, not in like all the ways, there's a lot of great things about me, but in like the way that he's always, you know, like if you don't, you know, learn to be on time, then you're going to like whatever, that kind of thing. And I just rush him through his jokes, I guess. So anyway, hearing your stories, it's going to be good. But Leanne Morgan is really funny.
She is hilarious. I love that segue.
So good.
That was so good.
It's good. It's good.
That was a little journey you just took us on.
Sorry, just get it.
Love it. I love
she,
it.
But I don't even know what I want to say about her other than y'all should listen to her because there's this feeling that I get when I hear, I think it could just be like.
She's got the accent too, which I feel like is just a shoe-in for you.
Yeah. It's so good.
She's so good.
She's so authentic. And yeah. It's and living. I just haven't seen that type of person represented right. in that platform right. really before mm-hmm. that like, yeah, she's active in her church and she talks about these church suppers and what she brings and how everybody, yeah. you know, it's just, we could relate, right? Yeah. To yes. so much of that language and that type of person and mm-hmm. as a mom, but she, yeah, you just haven't, we haven't seen that as a, in stand-up comedy, really.
Right.
I listened to her talk about how she came up and in comedy and it really started, I think, when her kids were older, she was older.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Or just like, you know,
I think she was
beginning geriatric pregnancy age, you know, normal.
She's like mid-40s or something.
Yeah, was she? Okay, I thought she was like late. But anyway, whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah, like really coming up for mm-hmm. sure, yes.
And her kids are awesome. It's fun when she brings her kids into it and her husband.
Yeah, Chuck.
Yeah, hilarious. Hilarious. Chuck, all this, I mean, I've really...
She says, listened to her today. Which, by the way, that's something self-care-wise that I feel like I could do, maybe we all could do, listening to stand-up comedy like yes. straight away when you wake up.
Oh, really, fun.
That's what I mean, just because I wanted to be fresh on what she
sets the tone.
Says. Yeah, and she says she would get hickeys in high school, and she said, I don't know what my husband would do if I said, suck on my neck, Chuck. Suck on it as hard as you can.
Suck, Chuck,
on my neck. I need a hickey. That's hysterical. God, she's so good. It all started. I mean, my stand-up comedy obsession started when they were in the hospital, and I was like so desperate for a laugh.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I would ask a bunch of friends, like, I need something funny. Send me something. Vanessa Carlton and John McCauley sent me. Have you seen The Winnebago Man? Do you know that guy?
I don't think so.
It's a Winnebago salesman. If you Google it, you'll find him. And he just is like doing these, doing commercials or trying to do these commercials. And he's just fucking it up so badly. And he just can't stop cussing. And everything's falling apart. He can't get his lines. He's like, it is amazing.
Is it real?
Yeah, I mean, I assume it is.
Yeah,
who knows? But it's just funny as shit. Doesn't matter. Like, go look that up. It's hilarious. But that was one. That was a gem that they sent. They sent to me. They're like, go watch this.
Go into the hospital hallway.
Yeah,
and Google Winnebago Man.
I say that's when I like was going through a hard time a while back. That's my noon alarm. Sorry, guys.
It's noon.
Yeah. That's kind of perfect timing. Good. I'm not late. I'm raising myself well in my 30s.
there you go.
I trauma bonded with reality TV, like, and that's why I love those shows, and I totally get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important, those things and those moments.
It's a little, like, yeah, we look forward to them.
Yeah.
I had two kind of ending questions for you, unless you've got some.
No, I don't.
One is, have you written any music about your experience?
Oh,
you know, I lately have started to write about it, and it took a long time. I just didn't feel like doing music for a long time, but yeah, it feels good now. I'm writing a ton of melodies. I've been writing like long form too. I don't know what it is, but it just it's felt good lately to do that. Thanks for asking.
Mm. And then, well, I feel like you word it better. Like, what would you say to new moms? What do we ask when someone like is giving?
Oh yeah. Generally, do you have any wisdom to impart? I mean, I feel like you've imparted quite a bit.
Yes. Shoot.
So let's not, you know, I'm not mean to pillage you completely, but if you have
one line. No. I mean, it's all so different for everybody, and there can't be one
piece of wisdom other than, I don't know, just,
yeah, you're trying
not to take take life too seriously. Try to keep things light as much as possible. Laugh.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I like that.
I find that I'll do that sometimes. I'll be in a really frustrated moment with something that's going on. And if I'm like, if I just take a video of this, it's like, I feel like motherhood just always needs an audience. I feel like everything's funny with an audience.
That's a good way to put it.
If other moms were in the room, even if Jeremy's in the room, like something that might be stressful is actually funny because maybe just because we don't feel like we're doing it alone.
Yes. You're so right. That's a smart way to think about it. It's all, I don't know. But I was reading, or I just thought the other day, or I was reading something, I can't remember where, but it's like, whatever you're going through, like life is everything all at once. Like you're going to feel in the worst of times or in the hardest of times, like there's always going to be love present. There's still always going to be all this, you know, there are positive things happening at the same time you can also access, but it does feel like it's just everything all at once sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially being a mom.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Okay.
This was amazing.
You need a nap.
No, I do. I don't. I need. I can skip my therapy session for this week. Y'all are awesome.
We should all just go take a nap. It's still so.
It's so gray.
Parker kept saying it was dark out. He was like, "It's not.
It's
no,
not time.
No."
He looks for light and knows it's time to get up.
Yeah. Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you all so much. This is a blast.
Bye, guys. You can follow Shelley at.
Thank you.
It's at Shelley Colvin, right?
On the gram, just Shelley Colvin.
And then the nonprofit is
outofthewoods.help. Yeah.
Help.
Thank you. You can follow us at we're not sure, Mom Cult Podcast.
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
because I think
she knows. She's better at it.
The website is themomcult.com, but the podcast is.
Yeah. Right.
Podcast.
Anyway, it's there. You'll find it probably. And you can find us that way. And we love you. Thanks for being
Bye.
Here. Thank you, Shelley.
Bye.